But you see, I never attach good or the word good or evil or bad to these creatures. They are moving forward according to their own interests. They're doing something that they want to do, that they need to do or want to do, have decided to do for their own purposes. And so I don't regard them as evil. I mean, I regard them as something that is out there that is is coercing us and is some kind of a predator and pursuing its interests, which I don't believe for a nanosecond coincide with my interests or the interests of the human race.
Janet, we got to move on with other phone callers. I have Peter Davenport on the line on the highway someplace in Washington.
Can I ask Elaine one more thing before you go to
sure.
the next caller? I'm a little concerned about the fairness, and maybe in terms of alien abduction, there is no fairness. I don't know. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's kind of like saying that if the aliens, if there are good aliens, why aren't they stopping the bad aliens? It's kind of like asking if we have a police force, why don't they stomp out all crime? You know, I'm not sure that's a fair kind of statement to make, and I'm not defending anybody. I'm just wondering if it's realistic to believe that, you know, the good can stomp out the bad, and whether or not you, it sounds like what you're saying is you view all abductions as being not good, and you're saying you didn't use the term good or bad, but yet you kept using the term. And you know, you and I have talked about this before, and we're not really very far away from each other in terms of agreeing. I just kind of like to clarify that I think there's a, even if we're talking about non-terrestrials here, we're talking about somebody from another planet, another solar system, another universe, I think it, at least in my human nature, I find it necessary to find a balance and a fairness, and curious about your take on that.
Well, okay, Janet, I'll let her make the statement, and then we'll go to Peter Davenport. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, great.
Okay. Go ahead, Elaine. You can answer her.
Jerry, Janet's a very talented promoter, and she puts on very successful conferences. People ought to pay attention to what she's doing and attend her conferences down in Taos, because they're very well-run, and they're terrific events. I think that the issue of why don't the good aliens stop the bad aliens, if we want to use those words, is important, because if the bottom line is that the abductions are taking place for highly questionable purposes, then it matters a great deal. In other words, if there is harm that can come to us, and it is coming to us, then that's what we have to be concerned about. If there's some aliens out there who don't mean it, who don't intend to exploit us, it just kind of washes out of the equation, because the leading edge that we have to be concerned about is whether these aliens are exploiting us, and to me they are. And I think that these pleasant times that abductees always have with abductions from time to time are part of the conditioning that I mentioned.
Semantics is definitely a part of it, and I think also the Stockholm Syndrome is part of it. People held captive for a long time for bad people sometimes end up taking up for them. Peter Davenport, are you there?
I am here, Jerry and Elaine, and how nice to hear both your voices. How nice
it's
to be
great,
back.
Great to hear from you. You're on the highway, huh?
Well, I'm not on the highway. I was a little delayed, so I'm still at the center, the National UFO Reporting Center, and it's much more relaxed being able to appear as a guest, not driving at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, so, that's what I was concerned about a little bit. Been the director of the National UFO Reporting Center since 1994.
That is correct.
And your UFO sightings cases are legend. We've referred to them regularly. You had a great website. You appear on several radio shows off and on giving sightings. And I find it pretty interesting that Elaine expressed to me that you're interested in the abduction phenomenon.
I am indeed. I'm interested in all aspects of the UFO phenomenon, and that tragically certainly seems to be one of them. I don't think we can rule it out, and Elaine and I were talking earlier today and have talked several times in the recent past. I tend to agree with her that the phenomenon is very real, all too real. I wish it were not, and it does concern me. Over the last 17 years, I've received a handful of very convincing reports that strongly suggest to me that the alien abduction phenomenon, or I prefer the term interaction over abduction, is certainly taking place.
And why do you want to call it interaction?
Well,
I kind of agree with you, by the way, but I'm just curious for your reason.
Yeah, I guess it's my training as a scientist, Jerry. I prefer interaction until we know more about the phenomenon. Abduction suggests that the aliens are somehow kidnapping human beings off this planet. What we don't know is whether those human beings go against their will, or in some occasions go willfully or communicate willfully. It's just a more neutral term that I think is appropriate until we know more about the phenomenon.
Now, when did you go to Washington State, 1992?
No, I went to University of Washington in the 70s and 80s as a grad student, but I was an undergrad at Stanford University down in Palo Alto, California.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you aren't you from St. Louis or someplace like that?
Yeah, I was born and raised in the Midwest, and
yeah.
I'm a show-me lad, and I think that may reflect in how I approach the UFO phenomenon, because I'm one of those people who needs evidence and hopefully proof, because there's a lot of claims, there are a lot of representations being made in the UFO community that don't seem to bear out, and I like to see evidence. It's the scientist in me combined with having been born in Missouri.
Yeah, and your reputation, of course, precedes you. And one of the things I remember more than anything else about the Peter Jennings special, the late Peter Jennings, was he was quite taken by you. You guys became friends.
Well, we had an opportunity to communicate on a couple of occasions. I always liked Peter Jennings. I liked his style in his presentation of the news. Turns out, as I read his background, I realized that he had been in Beirut, Lebanon, back in 1962 or 63, at the same time I was just down the pike in Ethiopia, the capital city of Addis Ababa. And I never got to Beirut. Who knows, we might have crossed paths at the embassy there if I'd been up there. But in any event, Peter Jennings and I were in the same neck of the woods way back when, 50 years ago or so.
You and I talked briefly about this case in Pennsylvania, and we covered, I think, at one time on a UFO sighting show, a little bit about that. Why don't you tell our audience about, this is probably one of the most unique abduction cases ever. I don't even know if we'd call it an abduction case.
Yeah, and you know, not only unique, but tragic, if indeed it's UFO related, Jerry, but Elaine,
yeah, I mean, they found the fellow dead in the tree or something. Go ahead and tell the story.
Well, this is an incident that takes us back to a Sunday morning about 5 a.m. It was the 4th of August, 2002, so about 9 years ago. A gentleman, age 39, left his home to drive several miles up to his family property on Mount Montour in central South Pennsylvania. It's in Northumberland County, Pennsylvania.
That's a pretty remote area, right?
That's my understanding. It is.
Yeah, I haven't been there either.
And I think the Susquehanna River flows through there. Very good trout fishing, of course, legendary for trout fishing, and I'll come back to that point in a moment. Elaine and I were discussing this point over prior days because she found it very interesting as well, and I sent her a short 5 or 6 page synopsis of what I knew in September of 2002. But what we do
Elaine's on the line with us here, so Elaine, you can react as well.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Elaine. And
the part about that first report you got, where the people were fishing on the river and they saw a disc with a man.
Yeah, he's getting ready to explain it to us.
Yeah.
And interestingly, it points up how important it is to post even suspicious reports such that the public may know about them, because when I first received the report about what allegedly had taken place there, I, for some reason, did not pay attention to it. But what we know is that Mr. Sees left his home at about 5 a.m. on an all-terrain vehicle, a little four-wheel drive vehicle, to drive several miles up to his property on Mount Montour to scout out populations of deer in preparation for the Colorado deer hunting season. Well, that, so far as I am aware, was the last time that Mr. Sees was seen alive. When he had not returned to his family's home, his wife asked her son, and Mr. C's son, to go up to the property and find out what Dad was doing and why he was late. Well, his son apparently, I think I have the story correct here, went up onto Mount Montour to the family property, and he found the all-terrain vehicle. He found his father's outer, apparently hunting garments, neatly folded and lying on the back of the ATV, but he could not find his father. Well, the son returned to the home and reported this to his mother, and the police were contacted. The police went up onto Mount Montour. They, too, could not find Mr. Sees, and so a search party was mounted. Well, before the day was over, they had an estimated 200 people involved in searching for Mr. Todd Sees. They had, I'm told, helicopters, people on vehicles, people on horseback, and people on foot scouring Mount Montour. Now, the interesting part of this, and this is what Elaine alluded to just a moment ago about the first report that I received, because what I've just recounted, I was not aware of until many weeks after the incident had occurred. But the National UFO Reporting Center received a written report over our online report form submitted by a gentleman who wished to remain anonymous, but he described himself as a farmer, and he said that three fishermen floating down, I think it was the Susquehanna River, were witness that morning, or actually he got the date incorrect. He said on the 6th of August, that would have been a Tuesday morning, but I believe it was the 4th of August, this farmer and four fishermen allegedly were witness to a metallic-looking disc-shaped craft hovering over Mount Montour. And he further goes on to say that this craft appeared to be connected to the top of the mountain by what we would call a shaft of light, like a flashlight or something along those lines, a laser, and a man's body clad only in undergarments was being floated up that shaft of light towards the disc. Well, I would give a lot of money to be able to talk to that farmer or the person who submitted that report. I don't know who it was. But I posted that report even though I was probably a little skeptical, even if I had read it. Well, several weeks later, I got a very angry email from an anonymous party, except for an email address. Turns out that this woman was a nurse, and she said in a very short email, "Mr. Davenport, why are you not paying more attention to the Todd Sees case?" Well, I wrote back promptly and said, "I'm not paying attention to it because I don't know a thing about it. What can you tell me?" And back came an immediate response saying, "Oh, yes, you do. You posted a report to your website." And I went to the website, and lo and behold, there was the original report from the farmer and the fisherman that I had posted but had not made special note of. And that was the beginning of my investigation into this bizarre matter. What makes it so interesting is Mr. Sees was not found on Sunday, the day the search party was started, and he was not, his remains were not found until Monday evening. They were found by his son, and to the best of our knowledge, the remains of the decedent, Mr. C's remains, were so grossly mutilated that not even his own son could recognize the remains as being those of his late father. Well, that was the beginning of what apparently was a very extensive investigation, and an investigation that was done very quietly by the local police, by, interestingly, the FBI was brought into the case, and by the local county coroner, Coroner Kelly, and trying to get facts out of any of them proved to be almost impossible. But we do know...
These remains were found in a tree.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out, Elaine. The remains of Mr. C's were found in heavy underbrush or possibly in a tree, I don't know for sure, suspended above ground. There is an allegation, an assertion, that there was a type of metal object that was clamped somewhere to his body, I think to his upper arm, but I'm not sure. And days after his remains were found, after an autopsy had been performed, no results of the autopsy were published until many weeks later, probably 2 months later. The body allegedly was returned to the family for burial, although it was described to me that the coffin that was used, provided by the coroner, was a metallic coffin that not only was bolted shut, but allegedly it had been welded shut. So nobody could get into that coffin, and the family was forbidden by somebody to break into the coffin and see the remains. They were not even allowed to see the remains of Mr. C's or have a physician serve as their family representative to do so. No positive.
And the funeral home just had to take their word for it. He was in that casket.
Exactly. And I talked to family members and delicately proposed that they might want to open the casket or have somebody view the remains. And I was roundly castigated by at least one member of the family, the niece of Mr. C's, who did not want to hear any talk about the possibility that her father's death might have something to do with alien creatures or flying saucers. So that's where it stands. There are people who are still investigating the case, but I could not interest anybody at the time in late August and September of 2002, couldn't interest anybody, including MUFON, in investigating the case. So it was not until years later, after I had talked about it on your program, Jerry, and on many other radio programs, before people began to wake up and started to take interest in the
case. Right. I remember when you first put that out, and we referred to it on one of our UFO sighting shows because it was so unusual. And, you know, I just kind of dismissed it later. And at the time, because it's a pretty incredible story, but hindsight, maybe we shouldn't have dismissed it, huh?
Well, I dismissed it, too.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that is so bizarre that it really doesn't capture your attention until you start getting more facts about what had taken place there.
Question.
Yes.
I have a question. Peter, exactly... how did you get the impression that the body was mutilated?
That was reported to me in my first conversation with the nurse. And my recollection, Elaine, is that the body was first taken to the local hospital before it was taken to the coroner's office or the morgue. They may be one and the same. And this woman was on duty when she saw the remains when they were brought into the hospital.
And this was the woman who sent you the email and said, why aren't you investigating the murder of Todd C?
Exactly.
Yeah, have you heard from her since, Peter?
I have not. And I've had a computer crash. She, as I recall, she submitted a report to us as well, or an email. And that name has been lost, but I suspect that anybody doing a local investigation wouldn't have too much difficulty in finding out who this woman was. She was very mature sounding, very eloquent. She was very forceful in seeing to it that the case was pursued, because she thought that something very, very unusual had happened there. And based on the information available to me about the case, I tend to agree with her.
Well, maybe somebody listening up there will get in touch with us. And maybe we can follow it up more. Peter,
Peter, do you still have our email address?
Go ahead, Elaine.
Does he still have our email address?
No, I do not, Elaine. I have checked, and I may have it in an external hard drive backup system, but it's going to take more computer expertise than I have to be able to get that data out of it.
Yeah. Now, have either of you had other abduction stories similar to this at all?
I'll let Elaine speak. She's the more more extensively experienced in this field than I am, so I'll let her answer that.
Well, the thing that I noted about this this matter, if indeed the man was abducted, as it sounds like from the initial report that he received, and if indeed he was mutilated, then what it is a human. It's just like the cattle mutilation, only it's a human being.
Exactly.
And the thing that I note about it is, let's just look at the cattle mutilations. The aliens don't have to leave those cattle around for people to find. They could take them off somewhere and just get rid of those mutilated bodies after they'd done whatever they want with them. But they drop them back on the ground just where you can find them. And this is a terrible intimidation tactic. I mean, you know, mafia groups and terror groups, what they do is they'll drop a dead animal at your door if they want to, you know, a dead dog or a dead cat at your door if they want to intimidate
you. Well, I mean, you know, logic would say one of two things. Either they think we're subhuman or sub-whatever they are, and they treat us like animals, or what I really think is, I'm not asking what do you guys endorse this, but I think there is an evil group out there.
Well, it's a political message. You know, it's another political message. We do whatever we want to do, and this is how dangerous we can be. So don't get any ideas, because we can be very dangerous. Yep. We know.
Peter, plug your website real quick, and we need people to go over there. Lots of people do it. You've been doing it a long time.
I have indeed, 17 years now. We've been here for 37 years. It's simply ufocenter.com. That's 9 letters, 1 word. UFOCENTER, UFOCenter.com, and we're just updating our website this afternoon. We posted 1,000 new reports last week, and we're posting another 175 this afternoon. So people might find some very, very interesting reports there. I myself had a very interesting sighting here in Eastern Washington State just 48 hours ago, and they can read my report on our website.
Can you give me a little thumbnail? Curiosity is killing me.
Yeah, I saw a fireball streak across the sky, Jerry. It was 6:42 p.m. Pacific time on Monday. That makes it the 17th of October. I stood there. The hackles just rose on the back of my neck. It was not a meteor. It was not a satellite. It was moving at about 5 times the rate that you see a satellite pass across the sky, and I'll let people read my description. It's about a full page description of what I saw.
Well, okay, well, they need to go over and read that. And you mentioned sightings reports. They seem to be up everywhere.
Yeah.
Lots more sightings.
I've been flooded with reports. We had a whole bunch of reports last night. South Dakota, Illinois, Colorado. I don't know what's causing them. Some of them may be cases of people who witnessed a blimp, an advertising blimp in Illinois. We're trying to get to the bottom of those sighting reports. But certainly this summer of 2011, I've never seen as many reports as I got this over the past 3 or 4 months. It's been very, very active.
Well, Peter, we're going to have to spend some time and do a show together. And Elaine, it's really great having you on. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. I want to follow up when we come back. Elaine, maybe we'll get a Thomas Reed on. He has a history of this in his family, and you alluded to that earlier as we discuss abductions. And we do expect phone calls from listeners, and we'd like to have basically some first-hand stories about abduction experiences. We'll be back in a moment. This is an abduction special. I'm Jerry Pippin. Elaine Douglas is with us. Peter Davenport, thanks for being here, too.
Been my pleasure, Jerry. And Elaine, thanks very much.
We'll talk to you later.
I'd like to take an opportunity here to talk to you about our websites. We've been adding programs and adding programs, and sometimes it's difficult to find what you're looking for. First of all, we have a search mechanism on each of our websites, and you can click, like if it's jerrypippin.com or if ipodshows.net, just search the websites, put in the name of what you're looking for, and it will come up. Check us out, won't you? Often.